My guest at this time is Hans von Spakovsky. He is manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation. He is a member of the Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity and co-author of Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk. He has joined us many times to talk about different ways to make sure that we have clean and fair elections. And today we want to get his thoughts as a Texas voter ID law gets rejected yet again in the courts. And Hans, thanks very much for being with us.
Sure, thanks for having me.
I'm reading from The Atlantic here. Quote, a federal judge in Corpus Christi blocked further implementation of Texas's controversial voter identification law after finding for a second time that it intentionally discriminates against minorities. In a court order Wednesday, U.S. District Judge Nelva Gonzalez-Ramos blocked Texas from implementing portions of the 2011 voter ID law, which was considered to be one of the strictest in the country. And in a striking blow to the state, she blocked entirely a revamp to the law that the Texas legislature passed earlier this year as Senate Bill 5. The legislation was an effort to appease Ramos and do away with the finding of discriminatory intent. And obviously, she did not see it that way. This is the fifth time that the voter ID law has been struck down, four times by this judge and once by the Fifth Circuit. So, Hans, obviously, judging by her past, I'm not guessing that you're too surprised by this, but what can you tell our listeners about what this proposed law contains?
Sure. No, it's not a surprise because this judge and Obama appointee has shown her bias from the very beginning when she, her first opinion said that there was no reason to pass a voter ID law other than to discriminate. So that tells you what her attitude is. What's particularly bizarre about this opinion is that in essence, what Texas did to soften its law was, you know, it used to be a straight out government-issued voter ID law. They changed that to say, if you show up at a polling place and you don't have an ID, you'll still be able to vote if you simply sign a form that says, I had a reasonable impediment that kept me from getting a photo ID, and you show some document that's got your name and address on it. And the examples given in the statute are, for example, a bank statement, a utility bill, any other government document. To find that that is that requirement is an intent to discriminate. The reason that's so odd is that Texas copied a federal requirement. Under federal law, this is the Help America Vote Act of 2002, anyone who registers by mail, the first time they go vote, they have to show some form of ID, and the forms of ID are specifically listed as exactly the same thing. A bank statement, a utility bill, or some government document with your name and address on it. So this woman is basically saying that the same kind of requirement Texas put in, which is identical to a federal requirement, a federal law that's been upheld in the courts, that that's somehow intentional discrimination. I mean, that's just crazy.
What's the logic that this is somehow discriminatory towards minorities or the poor? I guess the argument is that some don't get government-issued IDs or they can't afford them. What is the general crux of the argument as to how this is discriminatory?
Yeah, but see, that's why her opinion is so odd. First of all, Texas provides a free photo ID to anyone who doesn't already have one. Second, they've even gotten rid of that requirement by saying all you got to show is a document with your name and address on it. You know, it doesn't cost you anything to bring in a utility bill or a bank statement or some other government document. So there's really no logic to her claim. She does say in the order, and again, this is truly bizarre, Texas made it a crime if you lie on that form. If you claim that you had a reasonable impediment that kept you from getting an ID, and it turns out you lied about it, Texas said that will be a criminal violation of the law. She claims that's voter intimidation. Again, punishing lying on a voting form, that's not voter intimidation yet that's the claim that she makes.
We're talking with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. Hans, obviously some states do have this. What data do we have to show how much cleaner elections are or how much easier it is, obviously, to determine whether the proper people are voting based on this law being in place as opposed to states where it's not?
Well, we know that states that have put this kind of ID requirement in, most of them have been actually upheld in the courts. And all of the claims that this will keep, for example, minority voters out of the polls, we know is not true. States like Georgia, Indiana, their ID requirements have been in place for a decade, more than a decade. And in fact, turnout of African Americans in Georgia went up after this law. A lot of people think it's because it improves public confidence in the election process.
Let's go back to the people who are opposed to this now, because we've talked about why you think it's wrong to assert that this is somehow disenfranchising the poor or minorities. Is it simply the fact that they believe that it will, even though the evidence is in a different direction, as you've explained, or do they have a different reason for opposing it?
I think there are some people that mistakenly believe that it's going to keep people out of the polls, even though the data shows that's not true. But there are other people who don't want anything that will make elections more secure. You know, these are people who want to be able to easily steal votes. And Texas has a history of voter fraud, including a lot of people who go into poor neighborhoods and purchase and buy votes.
The Justice Department has switched sides on this case. The Obama Justice Department opposed it. The Trump Justice Department supports it. Does that make much of a difference once this actually gets into the court system?
I think it should. This case now will get appealed back up to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. I have a hard time believing that they're going to uphold what this judge is saying, also because of the fact that the changes that were made by Texas actually followed a guide or outline that the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals itself wrote in its prior opinion. So this trial court judge, this Obama appointed judge, really is going against not just the logic, but also going against what the appeals court said.
So you think ultimately Texas will have voter ID?
Yes, I think they will.
Well, how many states have it right now, Hans? Do you know off the top of your head?
For a government-issued photo ID requirement, about a dozen, and almost all of those laws have been upheld in the courts.
And finally, any updates to report from the Presidential Advisory Commission?
The only update is that the next meeting has been scheduled. It's going to be September 12th in New Hampshire.
Okay. And how does all the collection get done? Is it just a matter of requests from the different states? Do you have to go out and meet with folks? How does the data collection work?
Well, that's still being worked on. There are many states that are voluntarily providing that information. There are still a number of states that say they're not going to provide it, and I don't think we've quite worked out yet how we're going to get the data from those particular states.
To be continued. So, Hans, thanks very much for your time today. We'll talk to you soon.
Sure, anytime. Bye-bye.
Hans von Spakovsky is manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative at the Heritage Foundation. He's a member of the Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity and co-author of Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.